Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Coming up on today's Capitals Talk podcast, we interviewed the first round draft pick for the Capitals, Hendricks LaPierre. We asked him about that tweet from Alex Ovechkin. He actually resurfaced a Twitter just to reply to him. Also insight from Sam Pell of the Washington Post, and Ben Raby wraps it up from Caps Radio. But also, of course, we got JJ Regan and Nick Ashew. I'm Alexa Shaw. JJ, we'll come to you. Free agency kicks off Friday at noon. What are you most excited about?
I'm excited to see what Henrik Lundqvist ultimately gets in free agency from the Capitals, assuming he goes with the Capitals, which we all know that he's going to at this point. I'm excited to see how much he gets from that, because that's going to determine a lot of the moves that they can make in free agency, because they're tight against the cap. They don't have much cap room. So if he can't break the bank, it's a great fit, but he can't break the bank. Otherwise, it's going to handcuff the team. So I'm also excited that we were able to talk to Ben Raby without getting his awful, awful playoff format, which he usually loves promoting in these situations. So I'm excited about that.
I want the Lundqvist thing to happen, and I'm excited about that, just so we can move on from that and start speculating on Ovi's contract next. Because remember, once this is all done, Alex Ovechkin's extension is the next thing we get to talk about. So once the big name in Lundqvist is done, let's bring him in. Then we can move on to spending a year talking about Alex Ovechkin's contract.
Lundqvist, the worst kept secret. Hopefully that comes true for us and for many fans. We're looking forward to that. There's your little preview. Your Capitals Talk podcast starts right now.
Mirage, it's Lord Stanley, and he is coming to Washington.
Hello, Caps fans. Thank you so much for joining us on this Facebook Live. I'm Alexa Shaw. That's JJ Regan and Nick Ashew. And for the next hour or so, we're going to be breaking down the NHL draft and what happened there. Also looking ahead to free agency that begins tomorrow at noon. Nick, it's been one long week for the Capitals with a lot of news going on. We have a lot to discuss.
It's been busy. My head hurts. It's been spinning. There's a lot of stuff going on. I do want to say, though, you said an hour or so. I was told no more than 30 minutes for me. So the rest of that after there, I'm not going to be a part of, Alexa. So don't include me in that.
This is so typical of you. You're such a good guy. It's been a long week, but I have to say the draft yesterday may have been the longest draft I've ever been a part of. I have no idea why it took that long. I thought it'd be over in 4 hours and it lasted the entire day. So, yes, it's been a long week.
Well, I'll say this, JJ, I do want to say this, that like hockey Twitter in general was at its best because the snark involving how long the draft was taking just made it that much more enjoyable.
Well, listen, there's no wasting anybody's time, Nick. Maybe we'll take up an hour, but it's a jam-packed hour. We got some guests coming on, and starting right off the bat, which I'm hopeful everybody is tuning in right now, we have the Capitals' first-round draft pick, Hendricks LaPierre, joining us. We're going to wait for technology to let him come into our room. Drum roll, please. Hendricks, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can hear Sounds you. Good. Welcome to Washington. It's a different welcome being over Zoom this time. I'm sure it's been a crazy few days for you. We've seen on Twitter the Ovi response of how you grew up an Alex Ovechkin fan, now being drafted by the Washington Capitals. You got a Twitter because Ovi tweeted at you. That had to be pretty cool. Have you thought about what it's going to be like to potentially be on the ice with the Great Eight?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, obviously, like in the past few days, you know, I've thought about a lot of things and, you know, many, many things that come into my mind. But sharing the ice with the Great Eight and all the other great players there is one of them. And I'm really looking forward to see what the future holds with what happened in this organization.
So, Hendricks, you're actually lucky in that your league is one of the few that's actually playing right now. I know there's been a little bit of an outbreak with one team, but assuming your league keeps going, what's something that you want to improve upon on your game this year?
I think, well, most of all, just probably my defensive side of the game and my physical side, you know, winning more one-on-one battles, being more of a poison in front of the net. And I think, you know, you can never get good enough defensively. If I want to be used in all situations, I think that can really help me. So overall, I'd say, you know, I really want to get better each and every day and just to improve on those certain aspects. Yeah.
I mean, certainly at your age, you're young, you want to improve, but there's also, I'm assuming, other than Alex Ovechkin, and obviously he's one of them, players that you watched and players that you maybe tried to model some of your game after. Who were those players?
Yeah, well, one of the guys I always compare my game to is probably a guy like Evgeny Kuznetsov, but obviously I try to watch a lot of guys like in the league. You know, I feel like Nathan MacKinnon in the playoffs was unbelievable, but a couple of guys I try to model my game after are probably guys like Bergeron and Barkov and Kuznetsov, you know, just very skilled guy for Bergeron and Barkov, you know, pretty good defensively as well, same as Kuznetsov. So really try to model those guys, but I try to watch, you know, all the guys, all the teams to see what each player does. And but I feel like, you know, they're so good. So it's really nice to see them and see what makes them so good, actually.
Speaking of Kuznetsov, you've now been drafted by a team that puts a high emphasis on centers. They've got Evgeny Kuznetsov, Nicholas Backstrom, Lars Eller. Drafted Connor McMichael last year. How excited are you to join a team that puts such emphasis on centers and to join a team, you know, a future teammate like Connor McMichael?
Yeah, well, of course, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I'm a centerman, but I can play pretty much everywhere if that's needed. But, of course, you see all the great centers. You know, Backstrom has had an amazing career so far. Kuznetsov has been really good, a large seller as well. So I know Connor McMichael had a really good season last year as well with the London Knights. So, you know, there's really good players coming in, and I'm happy to be a part of that. And, of course, as I mentioned earlier, I'm really excited what the future holds, to see what the future holds with this organization. But lots of great players. So I feel like it was really a good place for me to be drafted, and I'm extremely happy.
So I mentioned it off the top, the Ovi response and you getting a Twitter account. I don't know. Can you top Alex Ovechkin tweeting you as the first tweet? I don't know. Knicks probably has some competition there.
Yeah, well, actually, I've had this Twitter account since 2017, but I've never used it. I just made it one day and never got the Twitter app after and never used it. So I took me a couple tries to get my password back and all that stuff to respond to Ovechkin. But, you know, I feel like it's something you have to respond. You know, I wanted to thank him in a certain way and I couldn't just, you know, leave him there and leave him hanging. So I feel like that's pretty sick by him. It's really appreciated for us as drafted players. And I feel like it was the best way to thank him, I guess.
And I'll close this one out. I mentioned off the top, your past few days, I'm sure, have been a little bit hectic. What has it been like for you going through all these emotions? I'm sure a childhood dream to finally live this out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a fun process overall, you know, the draft in general. And, you know, even though if normally it's like at the rink or whatever with your friends and families and all that stuff, it was a different experience. But I had the chance to be at the rink with my teammates, with one of my teammates that got drafted, Dawson Mercer, as well. So I was extremely happy for him. But it was just a great experience overall. You know, it was stressful. You know, I was really excited, really looking forward to this day. And like looking back at it, it was amazing. And I'm kind of starting to realize, you know, okay, it happened. And it's crazy. You know, yesterday I was just sitting here and looking at my Caps jersey and I was like, wow, like, you know, it's obviously it's just the start of something, but it's still pretty impressive. And I'm still extremely, extremely happy. And, you know, it's a couple years of effort and sacrifices that finally pay off.
And I'm sure it'll start to feel real as well. If one day you're on the training camp ice with the Great Eight, that may sink in as well. Hendrix, thank you so much for joining us. All the Washington fans are excited to have you. And this was great to have you join us on Facebook. This was fun.
Thanks. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. That is Hendrix LaPierre, the Capitals' first round draft pick from 2020 that they actually moved up to get in the first round. That had to be a nice one. Guys, I think Caps fans got to love him. I mean, come on, listen to him. That was so awesome. Gets Twitter to respond to the Great Eight. That is a fun one. Next, we got to talk about the free agency frenzy that's going to start tomorrow at noon. One of those things happening this week. In other news, Brendan Dillon getting the 4-year, $15.6 million contract. JJ, what were your initial thoughts on that contract?
It had to happen. Had to happen. Even before the news about Michael Kempney being out with a torn Achilles, he was a big question mark for next season. It was no surprise that he struggled in the regular season after a hamstring surgery. But having an extra offseason and then continuing to struggle after that, I mean, you're not a contending team if you have a question mark on your top defensive pair. So if you got a top defenseman like Brendan Dillon on your team, you have to sign him. I thought, you know, to get him under $4 million, pretty cheap for a top pair defenseman. So I thought it was a deal that had to happen, and they kept it low. So good deal by the Caps.
Not only did it have to happen, like, he wanted to be here, which I think is really telling, because as you're in this position now where you talk about them being in down mode, which, by the way, we're going to exhaust that phrase, and I understand that. We're going to continue to talk about how the Capitals are in win now mode, but he'd only play. He talked about the fans, right? And how that was a real, like, that was a factor in him making his decision to want to stay here. But he played four games after he was traded to Washington, actually in Washington before everything got shut down. So that alone, plus everything in terms of the chemistry and the players that he was around, all of those things, the culture within the Capitals organization was enough for him to say, you know what? Like, I'm signing on the dotted line. In fact, I'm not even going to unrestricted free agency. I'm not even going to wait. I'm going to go ahead and make sure I'm locked up now to stay with this organization. Now, granted, there's probably a little bit of uncertainty, we know, with just everything in 2020, because that's how the world is right now. But to have somebody that's this important, that you mentioned, JJ, in a position that's really important, where there's still a lot of question marks and a lot of things they need to address when it comes to their defensemen this offseason, to have somebody like Brendan Dillon want to be here, get him at that price and be ready to go and have this off the books by the time we hit free agency, that's a major plus for this team.
Mm-hmm. And I remember as well, Brendan Dillon, you mentioned him being on the trade block. And when he came to the Capitals, I remember he was a little bit emotional during the interview, thinking, I could be traded away, I could go to the Capitals. And we talked a lot about during that time, former players, what that's like in the middle of the season to have to pick up and move and go to a new team. I feel like, though, this has been the greatest situation for him. He's come here, I feel like, love the teammates, grown to love DC. And you see him, Nick, like you mentioned, sign on the dotted line. Clearly something was working here. Obviously, great team that has some success. But JJ, he also liked it here as well. And that shows a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, I take that with a little bit of grain of salt, because he was
in. Whoa. Why would you say that? Come on.
Look, I'm sure the fans are great, but he was in a hotel the whole time. He played four games in front of Washington. I looked more at what he felt about the team and what he felt after talking about Peter Laviolette as being more of a factor in his decision. It's great about what he said about the fan base, but like we said, he hadn't played here very much at all. I mean, even when they came back in the bubble, there were no fans. So it's encouraging that he looked at this team that some people are writing off and saying that their window is closed, and saying this team's built for success. And coming away with that impression after talking to Peter Laviolette, I think that should be encouraging to Cavs fans.
Yeah, I'm not going to let JJ insult everybody like this. It's only because of the fans. And that's it, JJ. Nothing else. It doesn't have to do with Laviolette. No, listen, we know that there has been a culture that's certainly been built within this organization and in that building. But yeah, Peter Laviolette also likes when his defensemen get involved in the rush and play aggressively. So there's certainly a system that benefits a defenseman like him. But I still believe it's the fans too. I believe it.
Listen, Nick knows the audience. We're on Facebook Live. He's know he's talking to the fans, so he's gonna get another
I'm
plus
a man
for
of
that
the people.
One. Well, guess what? We have another guest. Maybe we'll even this out or tell her what her thoughts are on the Dillon news. So we welcome in now Sam Pell of the Washington Post. She is our next guest to come in here. We're gonna ask her about the Dillon contract as well and her thoughts on that. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We were just talking about the Brendan Dillon signing. What did you make of the initial news?
Yeah, you know, I think initially I thought it was a really good deal. I think JJ, you know, we've kind of chatted about this through our group chat, but I just think a 3.9 AAV for the team is really good. I think if he did go out to market on Friday, he would have gotten a lot more. And I think the Capitals obviously knew that. Brian McClellan had said that, you know, they were pretty aggressive from the go about that. And, you know, Dillon's camp, you know, he kind of said since February they've wanted to really sign an extension here. So I think all around, I mean, it was a great, great deal. And especially, you know, with Michael Kempney going to be out 6 to 8 months, couldn't have been at a better time.
It's the worst kept secret in hockey, Henrik Lundqvist and the Washington Capitals. What is the latest there? Is the King coming to Washington?
Yeah, you know, I think like everyone else has kind of hinted at, it's a pretty good bet that Henrik Lundqvist will be a Capital tomorrow. I think all signs kind of point to that, barring anything crazy. You know, a lot of people have said, you know, it's not done until it's done. But yeah, I would say it's a pretty good bet. You know, we kind of saw Brian McClellan with his kind of grin, sly smile when asked the question about Lundqvist to DC on Tuesday. You know, kind of had the poker face going on, but kind of let it slip there. So yeah, you know, I think it just makes perfect sense. They're looking for a veteran backup goaltender. You know, he is 38. He is obviously coming off the season that he's had. So I think it makes sense to put him in tandem with Ilya Samsonov and kind of let Samsonov have the reins and have the go at it. But I think you kind of need that insurance policy behind him just to make sure that he's 100%, you know, their number one.
As we're looking at this roster now, we know the Brendan Dillon signing was key because defensively they do need that help. There are things they need to improve. But so now that that's been addressed, where do you rank the biggest needs for this Capitals team?
I think, I mean, first, if we don't count goalie situation behind Samsonov, I actually think it's a bottom six forward. You know, they're going to lose Kovalchuk. I'm not really sure what a Richard Ponick is going to do next year. Do they try to move him and try to bring someone else in? But I would think I would like to see the Capitals try to get someone in that bottom six. I think a player like a Craig Smith from Nashville or a Jesper Fast, those guys seem to fit what the Capitals would want. Now, you know, we've talked about it all the time. The Capitals are tight on cap space. So how much are they willing to spend? How much are they going to pay, you know, a goaltender like Lundqvist? How much are they really going to save with Kempe on LTI and those different moves? So I think it'll be pretty interesting to see what the Capitals do tomorrow. And, you know, barring anything crazy, I mean, maybe they make another kind of big time trade. Could Ponick be gone? Could, I don't think Orlov moving is a high possibility, but I mean, you can't really rule it out.
I guess we'll have to wait and see after noon tomorrow what happens there. We've talked about the Caps, but what about Pittsburgh? They've been very active this offseason. What do you make of the news that they've been making?
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's been super interesting. I'm sure JJ kind of has the same opinions here, but, you know, obviously, I think the Matt Murray to Ottawa is also another thing that everyone kind of kept their eye on, and that was one of those blockbuster deals there. But Pittsburgh, I don't really know if anyone has a true handle on what they're doing. I think a lot of the moves they've been making have been kind of head-scratching, puzzling, kind of just seeing what they've been doing. Obviously, Jack Johnson, not with them anymore. So I think they're trying to obviously rebuild and get better, and they're kind of in the same position at the Capitals is they've kind of, you know, won their Stanley Cups. They've kind of, I guess their window, I would say, is probably closed, if not all the way. I think the same situation as the Capitals, but, you know, I think they're trying to get better, but it's kind of on the mend here.
Yeah, the big thing about Matt Murray was that the Penguins can actually trade to somebody other than the Minnesota Wild, which was fascinating for me. I didn't know that was allowed. One guy who is going to Pittsburgh is Todd Reirden because he is no longer here, replaced by Peter Laviolette. What do you think Peter Laviolette brings to the team? Can he make the team a championship contender once again?
You know, I think that's probably a little far. I think it's kind of a bold statement there, but I do think he can make this team better. I mean, obviously the Capitals brought him in to kind of push buttons, you know, for certain players, kind of make them better to really keep them on the track that they need to go on. So I think overall he can kind of bring a new system in. I think the way the Capitals were playing the last 2 years just really didn't fit. And so I think maybe his style of play and the way maybe he'll especially operate the blue line, you know, in Nashville, a lot of their offense came out of the blue line, but obviously they had a different blue line than the Capitals do now. A lot of top players in Nashville kind of helped facilitate that with a Roman Josi. So I think it'll be really interesting to see how he does it with the John Carlson, with the Brendan Dillon, you know, Orlov, Jensen, et cetera. But especially I think I was talking to the Predators writer, Adam Vingan, who covered the Capitals, and he was saying he's going to be really interested to see how Laviolette manages minutes throughout the forward group. Usually he's known to run his lines a little bit more and make it more even ice time. And so maybe that's why the Capitals would need, you know, one of those bigger guys in a third and fourth line role. So I think it'll be super interesting overall, but I wouldn't say, you know, plan your cup celebration next year quite yet, but we'll see how things go.
Sam, so much great insight from you. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was a fun one on Facebook Live. Hopefully we could do it again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. Nick, look at this is a live Facebook Live. What's going on? I got the window making me look like I was noticing that.
You've got what are they called? The golden hour? I guess it's probably too early for that, but yeah.
Now I have this.
You've got just like a little bit of like these dots kind of going down your face right now. I think it's a good look personally. You should.
All right. Listen, this is what happens. We're at home. We're via Zoom. The lighting is not the best. I've got light shining in on all these different places. No, mom and dad, I did not get a tattoo on my face. This is just the light. Well, guys, great stuff there from Sam. JJ, another thing here. We've been talking about the defensemen. What other needs do you see the Capitals going after noon tomorrow? Where do you think the moves are going to be?
Yeah, so the interesting thing is I crunched the numbers. If you add Daniel Strong and Martin Fervari to the roster and put Michael Kempe on LTI, they have about $7 million worth of space to sign Jonas Siegenthaler, to sign Henrik Lundqvist, and then to sign, I would say, a depth forward, as she mentioned, and then a depth defenseman. Look, right defense was a hole for this team the entire season last year, and Nick Jensen played well in the bubble. And so I think now it seems like everyone's looking like problem solved. With Radko Gudas gone, I think you got to get a right defenseman. Maybe you don't have the money to get a top four right defenseman, but you need a right defenseman, because if Nick Jensen goes back to the Nick Jensen that he has been pretty much 95% of the time since he came to Washington, then you're going to need someone who can plug into that second pair when he's having an off night. So I look for them to look for a cheap right defenseman option. I agree with Sam that probably you need someone on that the bottom six, but I think you can't close the door on getting a right defenseman either.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you mentioned guys like Ferravara, there's certainly some young talent that's waiting in the wings here, but again, it goes to the win now philosophy with this roster. They need another veteran that you can depend on, somebody that you know that's proven themselves at this level. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if they pull off a trade or two this offseason. And I know she said Dmitry Orlov would probably not be moved, right? But like, you have a new coach now that's going to want to come in with this new philosophy. And maybe this is an opportunity for them to possibly move somebody that you wouldn't expect. Also, because you have to think, in a year, you've got that expansion draft. You're not going to be able to protect everybody. So maybe this is an opportunity where it may surprise people, but Dmitry Orlov possibly gets moved this offseason. He's 29. You're starting to get into that age now where you think maybe this is where you know, it's almost buy low, sell high, although he looked better once you got to the bubble, but it's not like things were, we saw some decline with him. I just feel like when you have a new coach and a situation where a team feels like they have a short window, there's opportunity for moves where all of a sudden you pick up your phone and you're like, whoa, did that, they just made that. Like, there is an opportunity for this team, I think, to shake things up a little bit. And that could be one of those situations where they.
JJ, you were doing a little face there. I know. What were your thoughts when you're saying?
I mean, I assume that if Brendan Dillon got re-signed, that would be the end of Dmitry Orlov's time in Washington. But I think that equation changed once we found out that Michael Kempney was probably out for the season. I mean, 6 to 8 months, he's probably going to miss the entire year. So I don't know if that's a move you make now. I assumed that was what they were going to do, but because you just have too many left defensemen, somebody's going to be the odd man out. But with Kempney out the entire season, I just don't know if that's a move you make now, unless you desperately need the money and you have a lot of faith in Jonas Siegenthaler, because he's probably the guy who would step into that second pair role.
It's going to be very interesting, the moves that are going to be made. Guys, our next guest, Ben Raby, is on standby. He is going to join us. We got to talk more about this goalie situation. Is this the end of Holtby in D.C.? While he comes in, guys, maybe you weigh in. JJ, your thoughts?
This is definitely Holtby's last hurrah in D.C. I think he's definitely gone. There's no room for him, especially with Lundqvist, as I mentioned, being the worst-kept secret in hockey. But the writing was on the wall a long time ago. It doesn't make sense for the team. It doesn't make sense for Holtby, even if he likes it here. It's just too much money. It's a backup role. There's no trade protection. It doesn't make sense for Holtby to return.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us. We got you in here. We're talking about Holtby and potentially this being the end for him here in D.C. What do you see his legacy being if this is the end for Holtby?
Hi, Alexa, Nick, JJ. Good to be with the crew here. Legacy, extremely high. A lot that Braden Holtby and the Capitals fan base can take from the last decade plus, and easy to forget now in retrospect. I mean, this is a guy who was a fourth round pick in 2008. There were other younger, supposedly more talented goaltenders ahead of him on the depth chart at the time, in Semyon Varlamov and Michael Neuvirth. He eventually passes both of them. Both of them are dealt, traded. And along the way, Braden Holtby to become the undisputed number one in these parts. It wasn't without a few hiccups in competition. Yaroslav Halak brought in 2014, et cetera. Even Philip Grubauer to an extent in 2018. But for Braden Holtby to have put the body of work that he did over the decade, what I think is most noteworthy now as he seemingly moves on is that over the past decade, this Ovechkin era, the core of the team, you've had pieces move on. Mike Green, Jay Beagle, Carl Alsner, Andrei Burakovsky, first round picks. Holtby to me is the biggest player from that core, from the Ovechkin era, that's moved on. I mean, essentially, if you're making a Mount Rushmore of the team, you've got Ovechkin, you've got Backstrom, you've got Carlson, and you've got Holtby. You could have that debate, Holtby or Kolzig is the greatest goaltender. But to me, this is the biggest piece from this era, from this core, to seemingly now move on. And I think it's noteworthy in that regard, certainly.
And with a big name that would be moving on, there's also a very good chance, as it's been called, the worst kept secret right now, and Henrik Lundqvist possibly, maybe, probably coming to DC once free agency actually starts. What do you think of that fit for him? And also, let's just say by something crazy, it doesn't work out. We know it's sports. We know it's business. Sometimes this stuff just last minute unravels. What would be the veteran goalie or goalies that are on the market that you could see as the 1B fit for this team if the Lundqvist situation didn't work out by some really tragic situation?
Yeah, I was going to say, I like the fit a lot. Now, easy to say that here in early October, months before the season gets going. I think the thing to watch, if Lundqvist does ultimately sign, how does he handle it? Just in terms of really for the first time in his Hall of Fame career, being a backup, he knows that coming in. He had sort of shifted towards that role last season with the New York Rangers, but this is seemingly he's coming in. He knows what he's signing up for. There's only a handful examples of that. There are examples, but very few in NHL history of a goaltender of that elite caliber to go somewhere. And you don't even see it in other sports. Think of a Hall of Fame quarterback in the NFL. You don't often see them at the end of their career. Maybe they move on, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, but they don't move on to be a backup in a different environment. So it's different in that set of circumstance. But I like the fit. He gets to a team, we assume, one that still has that window open for a championship contention. If, as you said, Nick, if for some reason it doesn't fall into place as many expected to, I think the alternative route is just the more traditional backup goaltender. Coincidentally, one of Henrik Lundqvist's old backup goaltenders, Cam Talbot, previously with the Calgary Flames and Edmonton Oilers. That's a name being thrown around. That's more your traditional backup. They wouldn't be able to afford, I don't think, an Anton Khudobin after his cup run with Dallas, but a player like a goaltender like that, your traditional backup who could come in, groom the youngster, knows what he's signing up for, isn't going to compete for the starting position, so to say.
Well, Ben, quickly, you mentioned Tom Brady being a backup. Yeah, I don't think that would ever happen for TB12. I don't know if he would be a good backup.
But we don't see too many examples like that, right? Again, there are a handful in NHL history, but for a Hall of Fame goaltender, a generational goaltender like him, I'm looking forward to seeing it, but it's certainly a rare example.
Yeah, Ryan Miller is one of the few examples I can think of off the top of my head, but you're right. I mean, it's basically a completely different position, so you don't see too many people make that transition. All right, now we're going to transition to one of what I think is the most baffling storylines of the offseason, the desire from some people to trade away Evgeny Kuznetsov. Do you think that would make any sense whatsoever? How could this possibly make the team better? It can't. But in your mind, like, does this make any sense at all?
No, it doesn't. I haven't necessarily seen those rumors myself, but as far as, trading a number one center like that, and certainly one with the salary cap hit that he has, the examples of players, making upwards of $8 million a year like him being dealt, there's so few examples of that in the salary cap era. And the one thing I'll say, JJ, that to me, it's the biggest wild card of this Peter Laviolette era now. And what I mean by that is we've heard over the years, whether it was Adam Oates, whether it was Barry Trotz, or even now with Peter Laviolette, he was asked on his first day of the Zoom press conference, have you spoken to Alex Ovechkin? Have you touched base with Alex? What are you going to do with Alex Ovechkin? You're looking forward to coaching Alex Ovechkin. It's always about Alex Ovechkin, understandably so, Hall of Famer, generational talent, greatest goal scorer of all time, etc. But to me, the biggest wild card here over the next few years, if they are to keep this championship window, is Evgeny Kuznetsov. Can you get him going? He could be a top 10 player in the world if he wants to be. It shouldn't be a choice anymore. And Peter Laviolette, so much being said about, the need to hold players accountable. You could debate how much of that is really on the coach, how much of that needs to fall on the individual, the player himself. But I'm looking forward over these next couple of years to seeing if Evgeny Kuznetsov can go back to what we saw in the spring of 2018, which for a guy of his caliber at his age, that's not going back so far, two plus years, but to me, we've seen the ceiling. We've seen the potential. If you're going to keep that window open for this core, you need Evgeny Kuznetsov to be at his best. You don't need him to be skating for a different team in a different uniform for who knows what city. To me, he's got to be part of the answer. He's got to be part of the solution here. And that's why I'm looking forward to seeing him stay here and looking forward to seeing how he does under new coaching now with Laviolette. Mm-hmm.
Ben, we have debated the biggest needs for this team, talking a lot about obviously Lundqvist potentially coming to DC as well. What do you see as the dream free agent signing? If you could just, nothing was an object, maybe money was an object, nothing, that you could go get someone to be on the Capitals, who would it be?
I was going to say dream for this team, that their needs are rather conservative. I mean, you're going down the depth chart and we're talking about some secondary
scoring depth,
third, fourth liners. They're looking to solidify the blue line. I think in all seriousness, the backup goalie, I think that may be the dream signing of Henrik Lundqvist can come to Washington. I think that's a terrific addition given the need there. And then again, I think you're looking at a third line winger, somebody to skate alongside potentially Lars Eller and Carl Hagelin. You know, just looking at some of the names that are out there, you know, a couple of players who are actually just not given qualifying offers over the past 24, 48 hours. Again, not household names, but a guy like Vinny Hinostroza out of Arizona. He's got wheels, scoring depth. Andreas Athanasiou, formerly of the Red Wings and the Oilers. Jesper Fast is a guy who's been in the Eastern Conference, New Jersey Devils, New York Rangers. Again, these aren't sexy names. They don't jump out at anything, but what they are, their speed, their scoring depth. They could give you maybe 10, 15 goals a year in a good season. That's what they're looking for. And I think the big thing too, on the blue line, looking for, you know, a veteran, you know, right-handed D man. I know JJ has been all over that. The right D versus the lefty, a lot of lefty. Right D, a little more thinner on the depth chart. That's got to be on the shopping list.
And look, there's been a lot of conversation clearly about veterans coming in and free agents and possibly trades. But there's also some young talent waiting in the wings with this organization. Who are some of the names that you look at and say they've got a real opportunity to contribute next year?
And part of that defensive depth, I think Martin Ferravari, again, he's only got a handful of games. I think six regular season games and then made a cameo appearance in the bubble in the playoffs over the summer. But I think the opportunity is there for Martin Ferravari, especially with the Michael Kempney injury to begin the year. I would look for Ferravari. And then again, the more intriguing one, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it at length. I always say with Connor McMichael, the best contribution he's made so far for those in the media, he's always a talking point. He's always a storyline. Is he going to play? Where could they fit him? Are they going to get him in? Is he going to be there on opening night? Are they going to give him a little, you know, for junior age players, there's a window where they could play before being sent back, before it counts against their contract year. I think with Connor McMichael, the best way to describe it, it's a story with legs. It's intriguing. The Capitals haven't had a prospect like him that's garnered this much attention from the fan base, from coaches and management, as far as just the intrigue. What do we have here? You can make the case since Tom Wilson made the team as a 19-year-old back in fall 2013. So McMichael, I think, is a little bit more intriguing. I think Ferravari, without getting too far ahead of ourselves, I think that's more of a sure thing. I think he's got a place on the roster next season.
Well, Ben, we appreciate you so much taking some time to join us on this Facebook Live. We'll hopefully see you soon.
Yeah, I think for Alexa and Nick, I think first time, long time, as far as I'm concerned. Good to be with you guys. JJ, I see all the time.
Yes, very nice to virtually meet you. That was Ben Raby of Capitals Radio. Guys, we've heard from all the experts. We heard from the first round draft pick himself, Hendrix LaPierre. Any final thoughts from you guys before we head into free agency tomorrow at noon? Any final things you want to put out into the universe? Nick, I'll go with you first.
If Henrik Lundqvist isn't on this team at exactly noon tomorrow, I'm going to be so upset, because we've been talking about it ad nauseum and written about it, and it's continued to be a conversation. And by the way, it would be really interesting, and it's a really good fit as long as he's cool with being a backup goalie, which at this point at 38 years old, I don't think you're coming into this organization thinking you're anything but that. It's the perfect fit. This has to happen. I hope that that is something that we have that's breaking news tomorrow, so then we can move on from it and not have to speculate anymore, because it makes sense for both sides.
Yeah, what a shocker it would be if he turned out not to come, but it does seemingly look like the perfect fit. So I'm interested to see what he ultimately gets in terms of the cap hit, because that's going to determine what they can do through the rest of the free agency. Here's one name that I wanted to bring up as a wild card for depth offense. Alex Galchenyuk. That guy, he has cycled through multiple teams already. He looks like his career is already on a downward trajectory. A lot of people label him a bust, but if you look at players in the 2012 draft, he actually ranks first in games played, second in goals, fourth in assists, and second in points. He's only viewed as a bust because he hasn't become the superstar that people thought he would at the third overall pick. That guy has Brett Connolly written all over him. Bring him in for cheap reclamation project. You can stick him at the wing for now, put him in a third line role, and tell him, hey, you know, if you want to stay in the NHL, you got to earn it. Here's a way where you can do that and also compete for a Stanley Cup. I think that would be a great move for them. Plus, it gives them a little bit of center depth because he can play center. Clearly, I would label him as a wing at this point in the NHL, but he does provide a little bit of center depth, which they clearly need, because once Nicholas Backstrom was knocked out for a few games in the playoffs, all of a sudden they were cycling between Travis Boyd, who is now was not qualified and will be moving on, and Brian Pinho, who quite honestly is an AHL player. I don't see him as a player with much NHL potential. So that is a way to boost your bottom six and also your center depth for what I would assume would be a cheap deal. I don't know what the market's going to ultimately be on him, but the market's low. Take a chance on him. Give him a short deal, a cheap deal, and have him earn it.
And listen, JJ, when you don't have all the cap space like the Capitals situation's in right now, when your budget's cheap, it's a lot better to go to yard sales and find cheap reclamation projects and try to fix them up than go and buy really expensive furniture. So in this case, if they go buy an old couch, fix it up, put a new cover on it, maybe shampoo it a little bit, you might actually get a pretty good deal out of it. So they do have to think about that kind of stuff.
A little shampoo, maybe conditioner, and a little spray-in, leave-in after, maybe some hairspray as well. JJ, that was a great tidbit to leave us with. And Nick, we didn't go the full hour, only 40 minutes. So you can go do whatever you need.
I'm leaving now. Bye.
Don't leave us just yet, Nick. Well, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us. Hopefully, we can do some more Facebook Lives as well. For JJ, Nick, I'm Alexa. Thanks, and tune in, obviously, tomorrow, 12 o'clock, free agency. We'll see what the Capitals do.